If you would grab your Bibles this morning, turn to Daniel chapter 3. As you're turning to Daniel chapter 3, I want to let you know of an event that's coming up on the 26th of this month. I believe it's 26. Last Sunday night of this month, we'll have a family fun night. We'll gather right here at this building if everything goes well. We just ask that you bring some finger foods, but we're going to have some games for young to old. We invite everybody to come. Even if you're a guest, you haven't been here very long, you want to come get to know some folks, that's what that night's all about. We're just going to have a fun time together that night. So make your plans now to come and be a part of that. All right, over the past several weeks, we've been in a series that we've called Unashamed, and we've seen how urgent it is for the church to rise up, for the church to live boldly in a world that seems completely upside down. We've talked about being unashamed of the gospel because we know that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the power unto salvation. We've looked at how the enemy attacks us and how we can stand firm against the attacks of the enemy by putting on the full armor of God. And today we're going to take that a step further and look at one of the boldest examples of unashamed faith in the entire Bible. Today we look at the story of three young men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we see in the book of Daniel. Now, I want you to understand today that this isn't just a kid's story. If you were in Sunday school as a child, you probably heard this story. Maybe if you were at VBS as a child, you heard the story there. It's a great story that we tell our children, but I want you to understand this is so much more in this story than just a children's story. It is a story, a real account of three young men who were living in a culture that demanded that they compromise. A culture that demanded that they conform. A culture that demanded that they bow down and worship idols. But in this story, we find that these three chose to stand and they stood firmly in their faith, unashamed. Unashamed and not worried about the pressures, not worried about the threats, not worried about even the possibility of losing their life for their stance. They stood unashamed. But before we dive into their story, I want you to hear this. We look around, we see that our world's crazy, our world is upside down. As we have talked about, there's just a lot of chaos that's going on. But even in the midst of the chaos, in an upside down world, God is still moving. God is still working. Several years ago, my family and I, we walked through a very difficult season in our life. And it was a season where I desperately needed healing and restoration. And I looked for a place to just go and blend in. I didn't want to be in any kind of leadership role. I didn't want to be known. I just wanted to come and sit in the crowd and nobody know who I am and just be able to be ministered to. And to be able to allow God to pour into my life. And God provided that place in a church right outside of Dallas in Rockwall, Texas. And it was a great church. It was a large church. And I did just become a face in the crowd for a short season. And while I was there, God was working in my life. And he was bringing about healing and restoration. Fast forward to today. And I want you to hear what God is doing in that church. Just a couple weeks ago at Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas, where Josh Howerton is the pastor, they saw something extraordinary happen on that day. On that Sunday morning, they baptized over 700 people. Not only were 700 people baptized, but over 200 more people placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ on that day. Again, this is a large church in the Dallas area, and it's a huge building. And in this building, there were no seats that were left. People were sitting on the stairs. They were lined up in the aisles, sitting down with their Bibles open as they studied God's Word together. And God was doing something incredible. And here's what I love when he was telling this story. This is how he described it. He said on their Instagram page that it was a hurricane of grace. I love that. A hurricane of God's grace, where God is moving in a powerful and an exciting way, and lives are being changed. And he goes on to say that every number is a name. Every name has a story. And there's always room for one more to find freedom in Christ. That's good news, church. We may look around and we can get discouraged by all the things that are going on around us in the world. We can get discouraged by the things that we face, even in our own lives, the different struggles that we face. But what a great reminder that even in the chaos in our world, even in the struggles and difficulties that we may face, that we have a God who is on the throne and he is still at work and he is changing lives today. And that's why we will continue to say week after week that the most important decision you can ever make in your life is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because it's in him that we find freedom, we find hope, and we find grace in Jesus. Do you believe that today? Do you trust him today? Have you placed your faith and trust? That's why we celebrate the baptisms. I love that every time we baptize, I'm always reminded that in heaven, there's a celebration going on every time someone gives their life to Christ. And we get to celebrate that here on this earth, but can you imagine the celebration that's going on in heaven as well? God is at work. God is not done with the church. And even in a world that feels upside down, that he is still changing lives, restoring lives, he is still moving. And that's what we see in Daniel chapter 3. When we refuse to bow, when we stand unashamed, God's power and God's presence will be revealed for the world to see. Even in the chaos, even where truth is questioned, even where people are searching, God is moving in undeniable ways. But I want to remind you, as I did last week, that when God is moving, the enemy is not going to sit back and remain silent. The enemy is going to attack, and he's going to go after the church. He's going to go after believers, because the last thing that Satan wants is for the gospel message to be spread. He doesn't want the power of the gospel to reach down to people where people's lives will be changed. So when God begins to move, the enemy will begin to rage. Revival always upsets Satan, and he will not sit by quietly as the Spirit of God stirs hearts. He will push back. And that's why it is important for us as the people of God to be ready, to be prepared, and to stand unashamed in our lives each and every day. And that is exactly, again, what we see happening in the book of Daniel in chapter 3. But if you were to go back into Daniel chapter 2, you would see that King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king during that time, had a troubling dream. He saw a massive statue that was made of different metals. The head was made of gold, the chest and arms made of silver, the belly and the thighs of bronze, legs of iron and feet partly iron and partly clay. And God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what this dream meant through a man by the name of Daniel. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was upset about this dream. It bothered him. So Daniel comes in to interpret this dream. And here's what Daniel tells him. The head of gold was Babylon, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. But it would not last forever. That one day it would be replaced by other kingdoms and ultimately crushed by the eternal kingdom of God, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. So the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, that one day would be taken over by the other parts, other kingdoms that would come in. But Nebuchadnezzar at this moment didn't humble himself before God. It didn't get his attention to say, wait a second, maybe I need to be listening more to God. It caused pride to rise up in his life. And so King Nebuchadnezzar has a statue that is built. This statue is 90 feet tall and it is 9 feet wide. And this statue is made completely of gold. And the reason that he made this statue completely of gold was to show that his kingdom would never fail. His kingdom would never fall. And he wanted everyone in the world to worship his kingdom, his idol that he made. He then gathered all the officials and all the leaders from across his empire for the dedication of this statue that he built. And the command was very simple. When the music plays, everyone is to bow down and worship this image of gold. When the music plays, everybody just stop what you're doing and bow down and worship this image. And so when the instrument sounded, the people of every nation and every language bowed down before the golden statue, except for these three young men. But here's the problem. When the king made this decree that everyone would bow down and worship, he said, anyone that does not bow down and worship this statue, worship this idol, then you will be thrown in to the fiery furnace. And so these three men didn't bow down as the instruments played, and there were some other leaders that were in the area that are watching them, and they couldn't wait to run to the king. And they run to King Nebuchadnezzar, and they say, King, you're not going to believe this. Guess what? When the instruments played and everybody bowed down, all of them bowed down except for three young men, these Hebrew boys. They didn't bow. So the king gets furious, and he calls them in. And that's where we're going to pick up in this story of what we see happening. Look at verse 12. We'll begin in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 3. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and they threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. What a story. These men were willing to stand unashamed. By the way, these are young men or probably teenagers even at the time. They're not that old, but they have decided that they're going to stand unashamed for their faith. They're going to stand firm in what they believe. And the king gets so mad, gets so frustrated with them that he calls them up and he says, I'm going to give you another chance to bow down when the instruments play. And when they refuse, he cranks that furnace up so hot that those that throw them in the furnace die on the spot. Now, there are several things that we can gather out of this story today. And the first thing is this, that the pressure to conform is real. The pressure to conform for them was real in their day, just as pressure to conform is very real in our day. When Nebuchadnezzar called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he gave them one more chance. If you're ready, go ahead and bow down when the music plays. If you're ready, do what everyone else is doing. Why do you want to create a problem here? Why do you want to stand up? Why do you want to make this an issue? All you have to do is bow down. Because if you don't, there's real consequences that are going to come. If you don't bow down, then you're going to face the fiery furnace. So there was pressure to conform, the pressure of conformity. Everyone else is doing it. Why can't you? Why do you have to make a big deal out of this? Why can't you do it? And what I want you to see here is he's not asking them or demanding that they change their heart. All he's asking is that I want you to look like everybody else right now. I want you just to bow down like everybody else is doing. Whether you truly worship in your heart or not is not the issue. You just need to conform to the way that I want you to conform. You need to do what I am telling you to do, just like everyone else is doing. And the same kind of pressure that they were facing to conform, we face today. Our culture still plays the music. The culture still calls us to bow down. To bow down to the idol of success, telling us that our worth is only found in the things that we accomplish here on this earth. The idol of pleasure, telling us that we should follow our feelings no matter what God says. To bow down to the idol of compromise, which tells us that truth is relative, that morality is flexible, and that God's word is outdated. Bow down to the cultural battles that are around us, being pressured to celebrate what God calls sin. Bow down to the way that the world is telling us to bow down. Whether you really believe it in your heart doesn't matter, because it's really not about religion. It's not really this personal thing. It's just conforming so that you don't stand out, so that you're not different, so that you're not creating a problem for the things that we want to accomplish. The pressure is everywhere. It's in the classroom. It's in the workplaces. It's in the media. It's in the politics. It's in our friendships. It is also found a lot of times even in religion. And again, the world doesn't necessarily care if we believe the lies. Just conform. Just bow down. Just don't create a problem. But the call of Christ is different. I want to remind you what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture tells us not to conform to the way that the world wants us to conform. Don't conform to the way that people want us to conform, but to have our minds transformed so that we can stand unashamed, so that we can stand firm on what God's truth is. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to conform the way that other people want us to conform. But here's a reality. Sometimes we believe that conforming just makes it easier on us. Maybe if I'll just do what they say and I'll blend in, I'll look like everybody else, I won't stand out, I won't create a problem, and I won't have a problem. But the reality is by doing that, we end up creating more and more problems. We wonder why our world is in the mess that it's in today. And I would go as far to say it's in the mess that it's in today is because Christians for too long have been trying to just blend in. Let's not worry about it. Let's not go against what the rest of the world is doing. Let's just look like a face in the crowd, not standing out, not being noticed. and let's just blend in, even if we have to conform. I don't believe it in my heart, but I'm just going to go along because I don't want to stand out. The pressure to conform is real. But I want you to understand this. The pressure to conform is real, then that makes the courage to stand required. The courage to stand is required. When everyone else is bowed, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood tall. They weren't rude. They weren't arrogant. But they were unshakably firm in their stand. Their words to the king echo with courage. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to rescue us. Remember, the king asked them, so who's going to save you? I throw you into that furnace. Who's going to save you? What gods are going to be able to rescue you? And these three men stand bold and they say, I'll tell you who can do it. That's the one and true, one and only true God. The one that we serve, he is able to rescue us from the fire. But they don't stop there. They go on and say, but king, if he chooses not to rescue us, then that's okay as well. Even if he chooses not to save us, if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will never serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. This is real courage. They know what Scripture says. They know what God says, that we are to bow down to no other gods, that we are to only serve the one and true God. And they were willing to risk their lives for that. And they had courage to stand. But where did this courage come from? I want you to understand that this courage wasn't just a courage that developed on that day. This is a courage that began earlier. Matter of fact, if you go back into Daniel chapter 1 and you read how this story all starts playing out, you will see that their faith in God, their courage in God, their trust in God began earlier in their life. This was a lifestyle for them. But they had confidence in God's power. They said, our God is able to rescue us. Our God is able to save us. They were confident in God's power because they have witnessed God's power in their life. They understood God's power. And they were also courageous in their surrender to God's will. Even if God chooses not to rescue us from this fire, I'm going to trust God's will. I'm going to trust God's plan. Because he's up to something so much bigger than what you're up to, king. He's doing a greater work than what you're doing. And I'm going to follow his will. They were surrendered to God's will. And then the courage came from their commitment to God's truth. That we will not bow down because our God tells us not to bow down. Now, again, I promise this. It's not a decision that was made in the heat of the moment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't wait until the music started and the furnace was lit to decide where they were going to stand. Their minds were already made up long before this day ever came. And this is the secret to standing unashamed, that convictions are formed in advance. If you don't settle in your heart who you serve, if you don't settle in your heart what you believe, then when the pressure comes, the pressure will make that decision for you. We have to set it in our hearts before the pressure ever comes that we're going to stand for God and we're going to stand for him unashamed. That we're going to live for him no matter what the culture is telling us to do, no matter what the world demands of us, then we're going to stand for God and we're going to stand on his truth. If we wait till the furnace is cranked up, then the situation, the circumstances will start determining for us how we're going to react and how we're going to stand. When the furnace moment came, all they had to do was live out what was already true in their hearts, because they had resolved earlier not to defile themselves with the king's food in Daniel chapter 1. They had already chosen obedience over convenience, and they had already determined that their loyalty to God was greater than their fear of man. This was already in their hearts. All they had to do was live it out. And the third thing I want you to see is that the presence of God is revealed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood with unshakable courage. They stood on their beliefs. They stood on who they were in God. But here's the good news, that as they stood for God, they didn't stand alone. Their faith carried them into the fire, but it was in the fire that the presence of God was revealed. And I want you to understand this. I don't want you to miss this. God's presence in their life didn't just show up when they were in the fire. God's presence was there. But when they're thrown into this hot fire, it was while they were in the fire that King Nebuchadnezzar is looking in, and he jumps up and he says, wait a second, something's going on here. And he asked the other officials, he said, how many did we throw in the fire? It was three, wasn't it? And they said, yeah, we threw three in the fire. Why am I seeing four in the fire? And by the way, that fourth one in the fire looks like a god. So what he is saying is, we threw three in the fire. The fire was guaranteed to kill them. The fire was hot. It didn't touch them. And now there's a fourth one in the fire. And he is seeing the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve. The presence of God was revealed in the fire. Oh, his anger was boiled over so much that he had the furnace heated up seven times hotter than usual, that those that would throw these men in the fire would die from the heat of the fire. This was a hot fire. This is something that should have taken them out. It looked like it was all over for these three. But it wasn't. And God was revealed. Didn't we throw three men bound in the fire? Truth for us is sometimes God will deliver us from the fire. Sometimes God delivers us through the fire, but every time God promises to be with us in the fire. The fire that was supposed to destroy them became the place where God's glory was revealed, and the ropes that bound them were burned away in the flames, and their bodies, not their faith, everything stood strong. Living unashamed does not mean that we won't face the fire. But it does mean that we will never face the fire alone, because Jesus promised in Matthew 28:20 that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In the fire of cultural pressure, he is with us. In the fire of loss and suffering, he is with us. In the fire of persecution, he is with us. The presence of Christ in the fire changes everything. What should destroy us becomes the testimony of what God is doing, and that our God is greater, and he alone is worthy of our worship. Here's Shadrach, Meshach in the fire, and now there's the fourth one there. King Nebuchadnezzar jumps up, and he calls everybody together. They pull them out of the fire. They're walking around them. They're looking them over. They want to see where they're burned at. I mean, they're checking out their hair. Their hair's not even singed. They're looking all over their clothes. Their clothes aren't burned at all. They're in amazement of what's happening, and then somebody walks up, sniffs the clothes. Clothes don't even smell like fire. Something strange is going on here. And King Nebuchadnezzar realizes what's going on, and he says, truly, their God is the true God. And he makes another decree, and he says, nobody will worship anyone else other than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you do, you're going to be ripped limb from limb, and we're going to destroy your homes. We're going to take you out if you worship anybody else other than the true God. His eyes were opened up at that moment for who the true God was. God showed up in the fire. God was revealed in the fire. And it's when we face the fire that sometimes that's when God will be revealed the most to those around us, to those that need to see him. The world may throw us into the fire, but the fire is where a revival spark will happen. The enemy may try to silence the gospel, but the gospel always burns brighter in the flames. And God is revealed in the fire. So the question for each one of us is today, will we bow down to the things of this world, to the cultures around us, to the other gods of this world, or will we stand firm in our faith and our belief and our trust in Jesus Christ? Even when it's uncomfortable to stand. And now is the time, not for half-hearted faith, but for a faith that is bold, a faith that says, I will stand unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is not the time for us to be silenced or to live in shame, but now is time for us to live unashamed. But in order for that to happen, we must resolve in our hearts that we will live unashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before the hard times come, before it gets difficult, we need to resolve that in our heart, and we need to do that right now. And by the way, it's something we need to do on a regular basis in our lives. That I will stand unashamed because I know what God has done in my life. I know the change that He's made in me. We talked about the changed lives. We witnessed the changed lives. God is still changing lives. And if people say, how do you know that? You can say, I know that because He has changed my life. And I will stand unashamed on that truth. I will stand unashamed on the gospel of Jesus Christ because it truly is the power of salvation. I will not bow down to the idols of this world. I will not conform to the way that the world wants me to conform because I've been transformed by that gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will stand firm on that truth. If we wait till the music starts and the furnace is heated up, we may have a problem. We need to decide that in our hearts today. Will you stand firm? Will you stand unashamed on the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to ask us to stand this morning as we prepare to dismiss. We're going to pray. And as we pray, I'm going to ask you that question. Will you bow down or will you stand? Will you bow down to the things of this world or will you stand unashamed for Jesus Christ? Unashamed of the gospel that still is changing lives today. And I challenge you in this. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know the truth, you know that He is living in you, then let today be an encouragement for you that as we go out that we can live bold and strong for Him. But today, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, then today is the day of salvation. Today, would you trust Him by opening up your heart to Him? And if you'd like to visit with somebody about that, as soon as we dismiss in a moment, we'd love to visit with you. We'll hang around down here at the front. We'd love to have that opportunity to share with you more how Christ can change your life today. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this story that reminds us of the hope that we have in You, the security that we have in You, the trust that we have in You. And God, I pray that right now for each one of us, that we would resolve in our own hearts today that we're going to stand unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe, and that there is room in Your kingdom for one more. There's room for others. And God, I pray that as we go out and we stand unashamed of the gospel, that people would see You through us, that people would be drawn to You, and they would know that truth. God, thank You for the work that You're doing in our church, the work You're doing in our community, the work that You're doing all around the world. And God, I pray that we would see a great revival in our land, in our world. God, that many people would come to know You as their Lord and Savior. Father, I thank You for Your wonderful love for us and for anyone here that doesn't know You today. I pray that right now, they would just know Your presence as You draw them close, and they would say yes to You today. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Have a great week.